Radio, Bucky's Auto Service Centers. When you weren't here all week last week, Tom, I was testing Mike Lewis. Let's see if you remember the quiz questions. Here we go. Are you ready? Bucky's Auto Service Centers has been in business for how long now, Tom?
13.
That's how many service centers
there are. Oh, darn. And let me guess, 48.
That's 48 is
recall.
Good. 48 is the number of years.
Years, that's right.
Got it. Good. Bucky's Auto Service Center. Take your car to Bucky's Auto Service Centers. All right, let's see. Seattle soda tax raises $1 million more than predicted. I guess they were able to get more money from poor people than they thought they would get.
In the first 3 months.
First 3 months, right.
We have a projection over the year, so this is a preliminary. It's be like the first quarter score.
Right.
So we don't know everything, but yeah, it's raised over $1 million.
Here we
more
go.
More than they expected.
What I'd like to know is how many, like when they tested in Berkeley, California, what they found was in small mom and pop stores, they ate the additional cost and didn't pass it on to consumers. Other ones did.
Yeah.
So that sort of messes things up. And also Berkeley is fairly rich and fairly white, so it's not a really good test market. Philadelphia is a good test market as to will people buy less sugary drinks if you raise the price? The probably answer is yes. Now, will they get thinner? Will you do anything about obesity if they drink less sugary drinks? The answer to that is no.
Well, we don't know that. Well, the idea is that's the assumption behind the bill,
right?
Is that you're healthier. Now, it is true.
There's no evidence that shows that people won't consume some other type of sugary thing. Yeah, they might not eat that. Not in that drink of soda, but then they'll go ahead and get a milkshake.
Yes.
Yeah.
That would be a concern. That would be
a good test. So if ultimately the reason you're raising the price is because you want people to be thinner, why don't you get a metrics? Let's do a metrics. And
healthier.
Let's do weight. Healthier.
No. I mean, the problem is obesity, that and just the weight is not the only thing that would make you healthier.
Well, you can get blood pressure and stuff. I'm just saying what they should do is do a test, get, I don't know, 4,000, 5,000, make it scientifically relevant, and test enough people and say, okay, these are soda drinkers. The tax goes into effect. You weigh 245 pounds. You're 5'7". You got a 41-inch waist. Mm-hmm. 1 year later, we've now raised the price of sugary drinks up to this, and you're exactly the same weight, if not heavier, because now maybe you're buying a Snickers bar because you had to drink water or lemonade,
I
right?
I know. I wonder. Well, then we'll go after the Snickers bars. And if the Snickers bars don't prove
right,
it,
right, we're going to get them. We'll stop them. We'll fight them in the hills and get them in the back of us. All right, here's Como's Matt Markovich. How about that? Reports on how they're doing with taking money from poor people and giving it to the city so the city can turn around and give it back
people.
To poor people.
At Pecos Pit.
Tom, most of the people who drink soda are not well off.
No, Dory Monson drinks more soda than just about anybody in the building.
Have you seen what they pay Dory? He pays them to be on the air.
And I drink a lot of it.
Do you want mild on it?
You can get your barbecue spicy.
Do you want anything to drink?
Water.
They used to sell a lot of sodas to wash it down.
Okay, I need 3 waters, please.
Not anymore.
And their water, and then a sandwich with a side and their water, a sandwich with the water.
Soda is sold, but it's not numero uno.
I think it's terrible.
Says owner Deborah Wise of the nearly 2 cents an ounce tax she has to pay.
Over and above my bill was $1,000. I can't absorb that. I can't. So then I said, okay, I have to pass it on.
So last month, she put out this sign, letting her customers know her drinks have 2 prices, those that are taxed and those that are not.
But we've been making a lot more lemonade.
That she makes from scratch, homemade, is not taxable.
Oh, brilliant.
I know. I think, and I don't have a problem with that. There's probably a reason why that was included. That exception was included.
We can't control that. Because where they sting them is they sting them at the distributor. So the soda comes with Coke and things. So they get them there.
With the syrup,
And then the syrup is passed on. The tax is passed on to the business owner. But how could we control lemonade? Oh, we can't control lemonade. So that's one way around it. Very smart.
That's
Good
right.
Job.
But also, did you notice that in that little clip, the person just said, I have water. If we get more people drinking water, that's fine.
Okay, well, we're not finished. There's 35 more seconds for this thing really to turn south on you.
And then we have everybody's favorite bar mixer, grenadine.
Merlino Foods sells wholesale to restaurants. Grenadine, $5 a bottle.
And the tax is $6.72. So there was a lot of confusion with this.
Cranberry juice, taxed. Pineapple juice, no tax.
We spent many, many hours talking to customers regarding why this one is, why not this one.
But the tax is having its intended effect.
Our sales are down.
Yeah, good. Sales are down.
Yes.
Yeah.
off probably 15 or 20%.
It generated nearly $4.5 million in its first 3 months, a million more than expected.
So the purpose of the tax is to get people to be healthier, to reduce obesity. They've done this in the UK. They tried it in Finland. They threw it out in Finland. They have tried to control what people eat so that people are, quote unquote, healthier.
Yes.
Put a tax on cigarettes so people smoke less cigarettes.
That's true.
Put a tax on alcohol so they won't consume as much alcohol. Right. It's a vice tax.
Yeah.
So
in this case,
so let's not judge it by the 4.5 million. What you do is we just try to figure out, because what we're trying to do is get people healthier, thinner or healthier. They will be less obese, because right now the average, what is it, 60-some percent of people are overweight, 30-some percent are morbidly
obese.
Right.
But yes,
that would be a good test.
And the other thing, though, is it's a fail-safe situation, because if you don't get people to stop drinking, you at least are raising money for a good cause, and that's the balance here.
Yeah.
Now, the council members that passed this said
7-1.
It's not the number that's key. They said the main reason they were doing this is to improve people's health.
Right.
However, the idea is, if you just raise money for early infant education or whatever the low income early education business, I mean, there. In other words, there's a social good that comes out of it, whether we stop drinking or we don't drink.
Mm-hmm.
When I go into like a Bartels and they have the price and they announce, and here's what the soda tax is on top of it. I mean, we're certainly aware of it. I don't know if that's really going to stop somebody who's dying for a Coke.
Well, ultimately, what we're trying to do is have people be healthier, be less obese. So let's.
Yes.
No metric, as they never want to have a metric. The thing they're looking at is, hey, we made $4.5 million after transferring income from poor minorities, mostly, over to the government, which will then take that and create government work jobs, like, for instance, somebody handing out bananas and apples and oranges to people that don't want them, part of the health program. And then of the total amount, it costs 14% in order to administer this newfangled system. Plus, then they have what's percentage, 24% is unaccounted for, meaning we're going to take that money and determine later on where we're going to spend it.
That's 19% that gives us some flexibility.
Yes.
So, yeah, we're 14% of it goes to collect the tax and an evaluation study, which is what you're calling for, John. So we'll know whether these
healthy food options work. Okay, but evaluate what? Evaluate that people are healthier?
Whether this money is effective. So, friends, right now 26% goes to healthy food options for low-income people, 24% to family child care programs, 70% for the first year of college tuition for Seattle high school grads.
That's necessary.
Well, the thing is, and at this point, we'd be able to say, okay, we give that money. Is this effective or not effective? I think the fact that we kept 19% not being earmarked is probably a good thing. We can apply it to the thing that's most effective from this.
Well, as they say, sales are down. So then people are making different choices.
That's
but
right.
Are they getting thinner?
But they
also
are still raising money.
But are they getting thinner, right?
Yeah.
I wonder, when you say how they're going to spend some of that money to find out how productive the program is and
evaluation study.
What is their metric? There's a simple story for you. It's a bunch of kids in Thailand are stuck in a cave. The cave is, I think, 3 miles long. They say some of the problems of trying to get into this cave, this has been going on now for a week, is the fact that the maps are so bad. They've been drilling holes, but they can't quite figure out where these kids are. One former Thai Navy SEAL that had retired and then come back out of retirement said, listen, I've been keeping myself in great shape. I've been doing triathlons, and I'm ready to go. Send me in. They sent him in. He ends up losing his life after a couple of trips in there with some oxygen. They also moved all the volunteers away from the opening of the cave. I think that happened on Friday or Saturday. They said, while you're standing here, you're using up valuable oxygen. So they sent them away. That's how desperate it is. And now at this point, how many kids have been taken out?
See, this is really, although your spin started kind of negative, John, this is really a good news.
Oh, it is a good news story.
Response.
Yes.
After this, I remember, so this happened my entire time when I was on vacation. In the first week, they were gone, and everyone had just assumed that, and there's no way they'd survive after a week, you know, trapped in this thing. They've then found them, and the fact that it looks like they're going to get everybody out that was trapped. Right now, they have 8. They got 4 the first day, then 1 more late at night, then they got 3 more today. They've now stopped operations. We still have the coach and I think 4 others. There were 13 total. But right now, this is a really good news story for impossible situation that these kids found themselves in. At first, when I heard the story, I was really mad at the coach. Then I found out the coach is a 25-year-old himself, and there is, you know, I don't understand why, if these caves or these things are that dangerous, why the government hasn't kind of like, you know, made them unavailable. But I guess this is a freak kind of storm, and so this doesn't happen that often. But still, I was irritated at the authority figures that allowed for this to happen. But if we get a good news story out of it, and the guy was only 25, and it was not deemed too dangerous to do, this is a great story, and it's fascinating. All of the engineering prowess that had mm-hmm. to go into figuring out how to make these things work. I love the way they said that it was so dangerous after that Navy SEAL day. I said, how are you going to get kids that are malnourished? I mean, for 2 weeks
and don't know how to swim.
And some of them don't know how to swim. How are you going to get them to use scuba equipment? Well, it turns out what they do is they now have them tethered to a diver in front
right.
and then a diver in back. And it's still some of the passages are so narrow, the kids have to take off their tanks,
right.
push the tank through, and then be pulled through themselves. It's incredible. But
and they take the weakest triumphant. Of the kids, right?
Yeah, they start off, they said the first four out were the, who are they considered the weakest?
Yeah, I would be in the corner coughing loudly.
They didn't say they take the least liked.
Coach,
they
said, is that you? Coach?
I'm maiden fast.
Hey, help me.
Oh, John, you would be a hero. You'd say, I'd be the last.
You
I'll go after
you
the
go,
coach.
Right.
You go.
That's, you go. I took a scuba diving class at Club Med. You go.
Yeah, right. Yeah.
Where are the babies, Mitch? That's right. We're going to drive them out of the hills. We'll drive them here. Yeah, by the way, I had that played. I played the famous speech of we'll meet them in the hills. We'll get them in the alleys. We'll after Dunkirk, right?
Yeah.
Winston Churchill. He was not as passionate as I was hoping.
No, I know.
Because I had Jacob Pullitt.
Yeah.
But this is an example that we'll get them in the Starbucks. We'll run them out of the bookstores. We'll get them as they walk down the street. We are the tolerant intolerant. This is Mitch McConnell. He's leaving a restaurant in Louisville.
Fuck you out. What are you doing?
He's walking towards his car.
The baby's back.
Yeah, we know where you live, too.
You
that's right.
We know where you live. Where you live.
It's America. We come into your house where you live.
Abolish ICE.
Trying to get the abolish ICE thing going didn't quite take off.
We did good.
Yeah. If you were a public official,
yeah,
and you have these morons following you, do you turn and engage with them, or you just keep right on walking to your car?
I think you don't engage. Anytime you engage, you end up losing.
Yes,
because you don't know how the tape will be edited and all that kind of stuff. No, you keep on moving. This is a strategy. It's a political strategy. It's handled, by every position on the political map. I'm more of the civil approach, but I understand there are people that think this is so outrageous what he's doing or anybody else is doing that you should make their life a little uncomfortable. But to me, it feels personally, it doesn't feel
like
effective.
Mob, like a mob fires. Sort of thing. We know where you live. We know where your house is.
Yeah, it's
right?
not really a mob when they're only like a dozen, maybe not even that.
What's a mob?
I don't know. Maybe
30.
Let's see. Yeah, let's say 1,000. Of course, I'm thinking of the French Revolution.
Oh right, because it's France. A bartender comes after Stephen Miller, not a mob, but one bartender, an angry bartender. Stephen Miller, of course, a speechwriter and advisor for Donald Trump, goes in to buy $80 worth of sushi from a restaurant. And as he's leaving, the bartender runs outside, double birds him, screams at him. And then I think at that point, Stephen Miller thought, holy crap, do I want to eat this sushi? So he ends up throwing $80 worth of sushi in the garbage. If
rich man's prerogative.
Well, Tom, if you were so hated because your ideas are different from somebody else's idea and you go into a restaurant, would you eat the food if people were able to identify you?
Yes, John, I would. I don't think that. I mean, the guy who is going after Stephen Miller is acting like a jerk,
okay.
but he feels like Stephen Miller deserves being treated like a jerk. I don't think he's going to poison him. If that's what you're asking me, I would eat the food.
You would?
Yes.
You are a big, lovable, naive human being, Colin, right now. You end up with a Visine trick that the bartenders used to pull. How about the fact that Steve Bannon, just one more series, Steve Bannon is in a bookstore minding his own business. And, of course, because people disagree with his points of view, so they scream and yell at him. Some lady came over and started yelling at him, so the owner of the bookstore called the cops on the lady. And the cops asked her to leave, or she left before the police showed up.
Yeah, he says, the owner says, I went to say, I'm going to call the cops if you don't leave. She didn't leave. And so he went to call the cops, and she left.
Yeah. See, when you were away, we had Maxine Waters calling for people to, find them, push back on them, wherever they are, gasoline stations, go get them, wherever they are.
Yeah. Now, not to physically abuse them.
Oh, no, but no. But push back them. On
yeah,
them.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. No, I just personally don't. I personally don't approve, but I think that might be a more of a personal thing. I remember during the AIDS crisis, ACT UP was very controversial, but ACT UP got a lot of attention for the AIDS cause
right.
because they were willing to do these extreme things. So I understand there are different strategies of
That was Kramer, approach. Who was the guy's name is first
Larry
name,
Kramer.
Larry Kramer,
yeah,
who went on the Today Show and lied about the numbers. When they asked him later on, why did you lie about the numbers? He said, I had to. I had to lie in order to get people to listen. Mm. Because if I didn't elevate and exaggerate those numbers, not enough people would care about this crisis. So he lied about the number of heterosexuals getting AIDS. He said, I had to make it something other than a gay white man's disease to make people care.
And he was a gay white man.
Yeah.
Yes.
And I understand. He's seeing I had two friends I lost to AIDS. He's seeing his friends die in the 80s, and he gets a chance to go on a national spotlight on the Today Show and some other outlets and exaggerate to get people to rise up.
And the reason he had that spotlight is because he wrote this play called The Normal Heart, which I think it might have won the Pulitzer Prize or something, but he had the platform.
Mm-hmm. Let's see. We'll find out why Techie's favorite color is making all of us blue, plus also the... adopted woman who scoured the internet for years to try to find her sister because both of them were set up for adoption. And then, crazy twist of fate. The house next door needs a new roof. What happens to the shingles brings these two women together. We'll explain a little later on the show.
What a tease.
The president of Philippines, one of Ursula Boitin's favorite guys, he said the other day, I will resign from office if someone can prove to me there is God. Prove to me that God exists and I will resign. I'm going to give him this story right here. How else do you explain this? Seriously, there has to be some force connecting people together, Tom. Some force that cares about even the sparrow.
Okay, John, I could rain on that parade pretty quickly, but that would shoot down the entire reason.
How else do you
story.
Explain this, Tom? The woman knows that she's put up for adoption. She knows that she has a sister that was also put up for adoption.
Yeah, half-sister.
Half-sister. So she begins searching on the internet. She looks at Facebook, and she's looking and looking. The woman's name is Dawn Johnson.
Mm-hmm.
And Dawn Johnson is a fairly common name on Facebook. So eventually she gives up and decides... She's going to just, well, that's it. I'll never find my half-sister.
Mm-hmm.
And then what happens?
Well, a son of a gun if it turns out that although Dawn Johnson, her sister mm-hmm. that she's trying to track down, was from Greenwood, Wisconsin, in Eau Claire, Wisconsin, which I can't imagine be that far away from Greenwood, about an hour's drive away, that's where Hillary Harris, the Dawn Johnson half-sister wannabe.
The one who's looking
is living in Eau Claire, Wisconsin. And then somebody moves next door to her.
Not six houses away, but next door.
Right. Literally next door. Mm-hmm. The next door neighbors.
Yeah.
And she knows that her name is Dawn.
Mm-hmm.
And she also knows that she's from Greenwood, Wisconsin.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But she's wondering, could this by any stretch of the imagination be the same Dawn Johnson? I wonder what her last name is. She's living with a man not named Johnson, so she doesn't know, what the last name is.
Right.
But she's curious. She watches her a lot, but she says, well, I'm an introvert. I'm not going to go ask her.
Right.
This would just be imposing.
Yeah.
What if she was my half-sister but didn't know about me?
Right.
What if this is something that she doesn't want to know? All these kinds of questions were raised, and she finally told her husband, I'm not going to do it. And her husband says, you must.
The people that had sold the house had deferred maintenance on the roof.
That's
so when the new people moved in, they needed to put a new roof on the house. And when the roofing company dropped off the shingles, of course, to identify where those shingles were supposed to go, they wrote in great big letters across the top piece of plastic the last name of the residents of the house.
Johnson.
And at that point, Hillary still wasn't sure that it was her sister. No, I'm kidding. Then she's realized, hey, this is it.
Yeah.
This is it. So there we go. So God created the rain and the wind that destroyed the roof, that needed the shingles to be placed on the roof, and then the word Johnson written across the top of the shingles. So Dawn Johnson walks outside and says to the woman, what?
Well, actually, John, it's more complicated than that. She doesn't just say it. She goes over to them with her husband. Her husband says, you have to confront her. You have to tell her, you have to tell her who you are. She goes over there, and she cannot bring herself to do it. She stands really close to this woman, and she's looking her up and down. But after about a half an hour of chit-chat, Dawn Johnson decides that she has to go back to Greenwood, Wisconsin for something. Mm-hmm. And so she drives away, and the husband then says, what are you doing? You know, she just drove away, and she says, oh, yeah, that's terrible. So she ends up figuring out what her cell phone number is. I don't know how that's happened. She calls her on the cell phone and says, I just wanted to ask you a few questions. Were you some kind of a beauty queen of 1938? Uh-huh. Because this was the thing that she had known about her half sister anonymously. And she says, "Why, yes, I was." And who was your father? Well, my father was so and so. And somebody says, "Oh my God!" And at which point, then Dawn Johnson says, "Do you and me have the same father?" And they have this finger brace. She drives back. They're now best of friends. They're besties through and through, but it took her husband to encourage her to force the issue. And Dawn Johnson did admit she was a little creeped out by that first meeting. It's just, you stood so close to me and you kept looking me up and down. I was a little freaked out. I said, I need to drive away. And now they're good friends.
And they're best of friends.
They are best of friends. And because there's an age difference, 50-year-old and a 31-year-old, the 31-year-old has a daughter who sort of treats now this half-sister as kind of like a part grandma, part aunt, and they have this really happy family connection.
Cast it.
Well, so this took me some doing because usually Hollywood actresses tend to be more glammed up than than the characters in real life. But I thought Charlize Theron is 45, but she could easily play 50.
Okay.
Remember, she won the Academy Award for playing Monster, serial killer, and so you kind of rough her looks up.
Yeah, yeah.
And then I think ideally her daughter or her sister-in-law or younger sister would be Jennifer Lawrence.
Oh, yes.
Who is only 4 years. She's 27. She could easily pass for 31. Uh-huh. And I think a Charlize Theron, Jennifer Lawrence movie would
quick,
be
working title.
Box office.
Working title.
Neighbors.
She knew she was out there, but she gave up. Fate hadn't. And when her movie... Sorry, take two. When her neighbor moved in, her heart reached out. She leased Theron and Jennifer Lawrence in an unforgettable movie.
Neighbors.
What's it called again?
Neighbors.
That's a crappy title.
Or sisters? Question mark? You decide.
Shingles.
Oh, that's...
Because it was the shingles that were on the thing.
That's true. But maybe we can replace it with the health condition and draw in a different kind of crowd.
Okay, good. There we go. Thank you. All righty. Normally, I catch Tom off guard. I normally say to him, like, middle of the show live, a quick cast it, and you always fumble about. So I did ask you ahead of time.
Yes.
So you were able to come up with that.
Yeah.
So there you go. The rest of the crap I made up.
Without any preparation.
I don't need preparation. I screwed up Charlize Theron. Is that how you say your name?
Yeah, Charlize Theron.
Charlize Theron. Yeah. Okay, got it. Let's see. The giant diaper baby, the flying blimp in London, is apparently going to make a world tour. We'll talk about it.
Baby.
Oh, I'm still going with music.
It's
another movie.
Wow.
Hold on. Put my music
the blimp
computer
sings.
Back on. Right?
Nicole Colgren. It was an inflatable blimp that looked like Donald Trump.
All right. Anyway, that's by the way, the opposing blimp. They're going to make one of Mayor Khan. The imposing blimp, Baby Khan, now has 43,000 pounds they've been able to raise. They want to make another blimp that's going to be next to the floating Donald Trump blimp. Did you know about that?
No, that's dumb.
What's that dumb? Oh, the first one's okay?
Well, yeah.
Why not? Why not have it? It's all about free speech. No, because they asked Khan, hey, could you have this? And within 2 hours, he said, well, absolutely, it's free speech. Okay, if free speech is okay, let's see if it protects the airspace for a Baby Khan blimp.
Okay, the problem is that the protest is of an invited I assume he's invited, a presidential visit.
I understand.
Otherwise, it's just,
no, it's free speech.
Hey, why don't we do a blimp about Jenny Durkin?
No, it's free speech. Free speech. We'll see if the baby con speech thing is allowed to fly. At 43,000 pounds, that's not enough for a big one. So it's going to be rather...
Isn't?
No.
That's going to be
I asked
small...
my friend Mike Dillon. It's very expensive to make one of these things.
Oh.
So maybe it'll be a small little one.
Small one.
Little tiny one, like 7 inches or something. Come right back. I got a whole bunch of stories to get to. Don't go where it's the Tom and Curly Show
little
right
Rocket
here.
Man.
We need to work on a better working title. You can text us at 989-73. You can also get in touch with us. Go to mynorthwest.com. Or a new way that you can get in touch with us and also win prizes is to go to the Tom and Curly, mynorthwest.com/win, the Tom and Curly show page. All of that, your chance to be part of it.
Easy for you to say.
Show. We've got to work that part out. We'll be right back. You write to us at mynorthwest.com. Text as well at 989-73. Be a big part of the show. We do love hearing from you. And as Tom, as I mentioned earlier, that we started a thing that I don't know if we can stop now regarding people writing. Are people doing it today or they've given up on it?
They've got a couple of people
trying to get the word urine or urinating into the show.
The fact that you keep mentioning it, I think, is encouraging it, John.
That's absolutely
what?
True.
What? You kidding? What? We encourage your participation. We love the fact that you listen to the show and you make us number one. That is good for us. See? Make us number one. See how I slipped that in there?
Yes.
It's a giant diaper-clad Trump baby blimp has been given permission to soar. It's near Parliament Square. They're going to be able to land the thing. And the Trump supporters, Trump detractors, are also going to be protesting that day. I think it's the 13th of July.
13th of July in Britain, by the way.
Right, because Trump is going there.
Yes.
And now we've heard that he might not be going to Parliament. He might have changed his tune as to places he's going to go to get around the fact that people may be protesting against him. Here are some of the people that have a problem with our president.
He's here to do more important things than worry about some protesters on the street.
Oh, these are Trump supporters, yeah.
Coming into the lion's nest, and it's going to be really fun to watch.
I think it is kind of embarrassing to Britain, actually. I mean, again, we always stand side by side with each other. And is this really the way you welcome a good friend?
Yeah, that's right. Those on the opposing point of view of Donald Trump say that this is part of free speech. That's the only way we can stop them is to hurt his ego because he has a giant ego. So we're going to call him a baby. One of the inspirations for it is apparently in this book with Manafort. Manafort and Trump got into it back and forth. Donald Trump said, "You went on television and is that how you feel? You need to talk to me? What are you treating like a baby? Why don't you talk to me in person? What am I, a baby? What do I look like, a baby to you?" So maybe somebody
watches TV.
And watches TV. So maybe somebody saw that in one of those kiss and tell books they're against Trump, and that's maybe where the giant baby diaper baby came in.
Yeah, to me, I don't understand. This is not that big a deal. It feels like kind of a small potatoes. But I do think it does represent a Europe's disdain for Trump. I think that's the most interesting aspect of the story is that they're really kind of appalled at Trump, I think. Beyond that, it's just a big protest balloon.
Right.
I mean, every protest, you have those huge puppets, who move around. This just happens to be an inflatable. But beyond
$20,000 is what it costs to get the thing. So then the fact that the Mayor Khan, I'm a big fan of his, they're coming up with a baby Khan floating blimp that they're going to have as well. So what they've asked is, hey, we're going to make a blimp. We have 43,000 pounds collected. We're making a blimp. Will you also give us permission to float this blimp? What they want to do is they want to catch him on the hypocrisy and say, oh, no, you can't let that blimp fly.
I know, but he's not going to do that.
Oh, I don't know. This is the same mayor that doesn't want people having knives, right? There's no reason to walk around the streets of London with a knife.
He's a Muslim mayor, too, right? I mean, the thing is that he's a really interesting political force in London at this very time. So what he's doing, he's not going to not allow. I mean, if he does,
score
points, but it would be foolish. Obviously, you allow for that. One of the interesting things is they tried to raise money for this Trump baby blimp, and they raised way more money than they expected. So they thought, oh, we'll have a whole bunch of little baby Trumps that people can hand out like as balloons. And they said, no, that's actually bad for the environment. So they thought they might do a smaller, thicker baby to follow along with the big baby blimp.
Can we get the story done in 3 minutes? Let's see why Tex's favorite color is making us all miserable. The favorite color of Tex is what color, Tom?
Blue.
Right.
I think this is fascinating from an aesthetic point of view. Why is it that our notion of the future has this kind of cool electric blue color to it when really it'd be much more effective if we had orange mm-hmm. as the light? What's the problem about blue lights? Blue lights disrupt our sleeping patterns. They yes. do something to the brain. And so because of that, this cool sheen image and everything that's technologically oriented, or most things, have that kind of classy blue sheen to it. They say this is really bad for our health, and we should take a lesson from the military. The military uses orange or red-based color scheme for their communication panels because it keeps you alert. It keeps you sort of sharp, and it doesn't distort your image. When you look away from the screen, come back to the screen, and then go back to reality, it doesn't distort it, whereas there are artifacts, as they call them, that follow us when we use the blue screen.
Yes.
And they tie this to movies.
Ah.
I love this, that they cited the first Star Trek movie and 2001, it was all red and orange image. And then when a really powerful cult movie called Blade Runner came out, mm-hmm. it had that kind of future noir blue darkness to it, and because of that, ever since then, it was always cool to be that. It's displaced. We should go back to the days of 2001 and not the days of Blade Runner.
Here's evidence that Donald Trump as a giant baby would not want to be breastfed. We'll get to that story in just a little bit, plus my review of a movie that Ryan and I saw on Saturday.
It's about time. I know it isn't Gone with the Wind, but it's just as old.